Okay, good morning. Good morning, a good night of Shabbos. So just to come back to where we left off last week in terms of what we're doing here, there should be more of those around somewhere. So we are learning, we're having a Parsha Shir every Friday morning, B'siat Tishmaya B'li Neder here in Adas Torah, right after the 7:45 Minyan. We decided last week that as opposed to jumping around all over the place and finding different Divrei Torah, different strains and different strands all over, so we'll try to, at least for now, we'll sink our teeth into one Mefarish on the Torah. We'll learn Sfas Emes together. We'll try to understand his Mahalach in general and his Mahalach in specific on those Parshas. And the main goal is, again, to get a take-home messages, take-home Divrei Torah that you could bring to your table, B'siat Dishmaya, to say over. With that in mind, so these sheets that I printed out for you are for that purpose. First of all, you take it home, and you have whatever we did discuss, and you can use it to say it over at the table. Second of all, we're not going to discuss all of them. I put here four Divrei Torah from the Sfas Emes. We're not going to discuss four of them. We're going to discuss one or two of them. But there's more if you want to learn over Shabbos, over the day, and you want to find more Divrei Torah on the Sfas Emes. So I did that service for you on the sheets. So take the sheets home with you. They are good to use. We're not recycling them, right?
We could email you on Shabbos.
And you could email me on Shabbos. In fact, I would appreciate that because of the following, which is the last thing I was going to say before we begin, is that part of the group feeling, I think, the chevra feeling, is that it's nice to know that we're sharing Divrei Torah with each other, and it's nice to know where the Divrei Torah goes. So if you do have a chance to share it over Shabbos with your family at the table, something like that, let me know. Reach out to me. So either you could email me after Shabbos, or as Asher pointed out, if you have the Shabbos app, Rabbi Rebach left, but he told me right before he left that he allows texting and emailing on Shabbos as long as you have the Shabbos app. He's not here to confirm it, but I'm pretty sure he said that. So you could wait till after Shabbos if you're so firm. But let me know. I'd love to hear the Divrei Torah went somewhere, and I'd love to hear if someone had a comment back and forth in terms of the Divrei Torah. That would be nice to continue the relationship and take it out of just the shir context. So it is a shir on Sfas Emes, which is why in source number one you see a Mar Malkum not from the Sfas Emes. So let's start with that. The source that you see in number one is interesting. It's not a newsletter, a gillion. How do you refer to that in English? Whatever, a Torah newsletter. They say,
pamphlet.
A pamphlet they send out every single week from someone named Rav Shaul Alter. Rav Shaul Alter is a great-great-grandson of the Sfas Emes. He's the Gera Rosh Yeshiva currently. He was in Los Angeles not too long ago, if I'm not mistaken. He probably won't come back now that I live here, but he did used to come before I moved here. And he is the Rosh Yeshiva of the Gera Yeshiva, a humongous Talmud Chacham. He's also very strong in Chassidus, obviously. He's a Chassidus Rosh Yeshiva. So they put out every single week a gillion, they email it, called Bin Oz Desha, which is Divrei Torah from Shal Alter. And it has, again, sometimes Chassidus, sometimes Lamdus. It has a mix of all those different things. So in this context of the Gilion, they have a beautiful, very interesting insight, two insights that I wanted to share with you about the Parsha. But we'll start by just mentioning the following thing. Anyone who opens up any somewhat Chassidishly inclined Sefer on Parshas Kisetze will see the following, some form of the following Divrei Torah. When you go to war with your enemies. So the Divrei Torah is always going to start with, when the Torah here says, it doesn't mean literal enemies, physical enemies. What does it mean? The Yetzer Hara. And then every Sefer will do it differently in a different way, but they'll interpret the following psukim, in terms of how you're fighting the Yetzer Hara, what the tactics are, if you can't win Vishavisa Shivyo, at least conquer it, even if you can't overcome it. Right? The Divrei Torah vary, but the idea is the same. And if you open up the Sfas Emes, it's no different. On every single year that the Sfas Emes said Divrei Torah, he starts with Kiseitzi Lemacham Alayvecha, Ayvecha is the Yetzer Hara. So, personally, I don't get drawn into those Divrei Torah so much. Maybe I'm not chassidically inclined enough, but also I need a question. I always get bothered by a question, then I want to hear an answer. Here, there's no question. No, we're just jumping in and we're saying, Ayvecha might mean Yetzer Hara, not just real enemies, like in the form of a real war. I don't know. It's missing something for me to draw me in. But the Rav Shaul Alter had something here so interesting. First of all, he notes that it's not the Chassidish Rebbes who made this up. The Zohar, HaKadosh, does say this already. The Zohar says that this pasuk is a reference to the Yetzer Hara, not only to physical enemies. But look at the sort of the middle where the bold is. The second word from the line is V'harav HaKadosh, the acronym. He says such an interesting thing from the Rebbe Rabunim of Persiska. HaRav HaKadosh Rebbe Rabunim. Amar, he said, when we used to have a Jewish army and a Jewish everything, and we had Jewish wars, and we were conquering Eretz Yisrael, so the Pashup Shat, the Trutol Shemikra, in this Pasuk was, a physical war to go and conquer Eretz Yisrael. And it was just a remez, it was a hint to the fact that not only are we always fighting real wars, but we're also fighting wars against our inner Yetzer Hara. Aval bizman hazeh, says Rabbanim. Nowadays, she'enu noeg ha-mitzvah lichbosh od chlakim me'eretz Yisrael. There's no more mitzvah nowadays to conquer as a Jewish army to go and find more land to turn into Eretz Yisrael. Azai al pi ha-pshat b'machamas ha-yetzer ha-kasim medaver. He says, now the pshutol shamikra changed. The pshat in the pasuk is actually that's talking about the Yetzer Hara, because we don't really have wars to talk about right now. And, you know, hopefully we won't have any wars towards the future. Lo yisa gai al gai cher, v'lo yil medu al mechama. Right, the Navi tells us. So we're not going to have this concept of wars anymore. It says Rabbanim, yeah, now the pasuk literally means, I don't know what he means, but it's not pshutol shemikra. But now the pasuk reverted to mean, not specifically referring to the initial, or primarily referring to the physical war, but actually primarily referring to the war of the Yetzer Hara. Fascinating comment of Rabbanim. Another point that the Rav Shaul Alter raises over here, which is interesting, again, everyone has this concept that this first pasuk refers to the milchama that you're fighting against the Yetzer Hara inside of you. So he quotes a chazal, if you look in the first line over here, v'amru chazal b'sefri, in the sefri, chazal say here, ki seitzi le'milchama alay vecha, when you go to war against your enemies, kineged oyvecha ata nilcham, you're going to be fighting against your enemies. So Rav Shaul Alter says, what is this chazal telling us? What's the sefri telling us? When the pasuk says, Kisete lemelchama al oivecha. What does it obviously mean? Al means against. That's every time in the pasuk when it's talking about melchama. Al means against. You go to war against your enemies. So the Sifri says al oivecha means kineged oivecha. Why are you telling me that? That's obviously what the pasuk means. That's just like an art scroll, the Sifri over here. So what's the pshat? So Rav Shaul Alter says a beautiful thing. He says, once you realize this is talking about the Yetzer Hara, so you have to rethink what a Yetzer Hara is. We know the Nefesh HaChaim talks about the Rav Chaim, we quoted Nefesh HaChaim last week also, I think. Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner talks about this at length, or Mchal talks about this as well in Derech Hashem. Before the Chet of Adam HaRishon, the way the world was that we had our own lives and our own selves, and then outside of us there was the snake, and he was the Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara wasn't something that was inside of us, Me'urav, mixed in to all of our decisions and all of our thoughts. But rather, the Yetzer Hara was something external that had to convince us to do something wrong. Once Adam HaRishon sinned, the Chet HaRishon of Adam HaRishon, so all of a sudden the Yetzer Hara became part of our psyche. And now every decision we make has the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov internally inside of us, not just externally trying to convince us to do something. But the real way we're supposed to view a Yetzer Hara, listen to this, the real way we're supposed to view a Yetzer Hara is that it's something external to us. We want to do the right thing. We have a Yetzer Tov, that's supposed to be guiding us. Elamai, there's a Yetzer Hara that's supposed to be trying to convince us, and we have Bechira to fight it, but it's convincing us to do the wrong thing. But that's not us. That doesn't represent us. When we make mistakes, that's external to us. When we're convinced to do mistakes, that's external to us. The internal truth is really just the Yetzer Tov. Says Rav Shaul Alter, that's what the Sifri is telling us over here. Kitetze melchama, kisetze lemelchama alaybecha. When you go out to war against your enemy, against your Yetzer Hara, says the Sifri, against meaning kineged oyvecha. Don't think that you're oyev. Don't think that your Yetzer Hara is part of you. It's not. It's not that you have in you a good side and a bad side and you're always constantly battling. No, no, no. Kineged oyvecha. Your Yetzer Hara is really kinegdecha. It's outside of you. It's opposed to you. It's external to you. In order to fight a battle and actually win, you have to realize it's a winnable war. Says the Sifri, it is winnable because oyvecha is not inside of you. Oyvecha in truth is kinegdecha, is against you, is opposed to you, is external to you. And if we keep that mindset, says Rav Shaul Alter, that's what the Sifri is teaching us. If we keep that mindset, then we're able to fight that Yetzer Hara, and kisetze lemacham alayvecha, you'll be able to combat the Yetzer Hara, realizing that it's not really truly part of you. A beautiful Dvar Torah from Shaul Alter. Again, he's not the Sfas Emes, but he's a great grandson of the Sfas Emes. He's the Ger Rashi Shiva, and obviously working off the Sfas Emes' Dvar Torah here, where he also assumes kisetze lemacham refers to the Yetzer Hara. We're going to skip number two. If you flip the page to number three, it's Kedai. If you look at it later, number two is very interesting in terms of Ta'ameh HaMitzvos and what the Sfas Emes' opinion was in terms of understanding the reasons behind mitzvos. It's important to read source number two, but we're not going to have time for it right now. If you go to three on the second page, this is amazing, the Sfas Emes. It's very difficult. The Sfas Emes, I spent 2 hours plus this morning alone trying to understand the Sfas Emes, which maybe wasn't the best use of my time, but for a 20-minute share. But hopefully you guys will benefit from it. So now at least you're invested in trying to understand it with me. We're going to have to read the words inside, because in order to understand it, we're going to have to really pay attention. But I think the message we're going to get is very powerful. Says the Sfas Emes, if you start from the words a little bit in, sheyesh b'chol dvar mitzvah sheyuchal ha'adam ledavik ha'kol al-yedei ha'mitzvah la'Hashem Yisbarach. Every mitzvah brings a person the ability to cling them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fine. Now, the Sfasema starts by quoting Rashi over here. The Pasuk tells us about the concept of the Eish HaSifas Tohar. A person goes to war. He sees a woman who's attracted to him. He wants to marry her. He's at war and he feels a desire to marry her. That's not the right thing to do. So the Torah says, Eish HaSifas Tohar. There's a process by which he's able to wed this lady. She has to go through a whole process, shaving the head, cutting the fingernails, crying for a couple days or a month or whatever, and takes the time. But then he's able to marry the woman. Says Rashi, quoting Chazal, Lo dibra Torah ela neged Yetzer Hara. The Torah was only come to talk against, whatever that means, the Yetzer Hara. What does that mean? So nobody, you know, everyone has different interpretations. Nobody's very clear on what it means. But basically it sounds like that Rashi is explaining to us from Chazal that the Torah doesn't really want us to do this. It doesn't really want us to marry an Eish HaSifas Tohar, but it knows that a person can't fight that Yetzer Hara. It knows that a person is really stuck and won't be able to avoid marrying this woman. So it gave us, I'm saying it a specific way right now, it gave us a way, beheter, a permissible way of marrying this woman, the Eish HaSifas Tohar. That's the process the Torah tells us about. Fine. Says the Sfas Emes, I don't understand. V'halo biyad, we're in the second line in the bold. V'halo biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu lazor la'adam negdo, o shelo yasisenu, v'lam haya tzorach lahatir iser. So the Torah doesn't really want you to do the iser of your fast Torah of marrying this lady. So therefore, the Torah gives you a process by which it's mutter to marry the lady. I have a better idea, says the Sfas Emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could just help you beat the Yetzer Hara, no? You have a Yetzer Hara for this woman, and Hashem is saying it's not a good idea, so he should help us, he should guide us to avoid the Isser. Why is he giving us a way of making it mutter? That seems like a backwards way of doing things over here. So strange. Says this Sfas Emes, Rak, Shezet Eitza. This is a piece of advice, and this is a lesson for all of us. It's a method. Lehatir davar shemoshe ha'adam l'ra. To allow something, to find a way that it's mutter, to do something which otherwise would draw a person to evil. So we have to just back up for a second. He's quoting from the Sefer Tanya, the Baal Tanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, in I think the sixth parak, but either way, it's in the early Prakim over there. The Baal Tanya talks about the fact that the word Isser, which means forbidden, comes from the Shorish, comes from the root of the word Ma'aser, which means to be bound up or entrapped or held prisoner. Right, Beis HaAsurim is a prison. So Isser is something which entraps a person, which imprisons a person. What does that mean? So the Tanya explains, and the Sfas Emes is referencing it over here, that when a person engages in any act in life, there are positives and negatives. There are attributes that go to each side in every action you do. What Isser is it's a certain action that it's so mixed up in Me'urav with evil, with the Sitra Achra, with the other side, with evil, that a person who does this action will be caught up. He'll be caught up in evil. He'll be entrapped by evil. He'll be masur. He'll be stuck to, and he'll be asur, meaning he'll be bound to and entrapped by the davar hara, the evil thing. That's what iser represents. Says the Sfas Emes, when you have something that's asur, it draws you in and it closes in on you and entraps you, and you become bound to the evil. Okay, that's what iser is. Keep reading. Rak al yedei zed, the only way to avoid that. The only way to avoid being ensnared in the trap, in the prison that is chet, is if a person does something realizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows me to do this. The word heter, meaning permissible, comes from the word heter, lahatir, means to unbind someone, right? To allow something means to release someone from prison also. It's lahatir, also mi beis ha'asurim. So if a person sees something as mutter, meaning he sees that it's permissible, it also means that he won't be bound up by the evil within that act. Al yadei zeh nasa heter. Lo lios nikshar b'nasar al yadeha l'sitra achra. If a person realizes something is mutter, he will not become bound up to the Sitra Achra. So what does the Sfas Emes mean if we back up for a second? He means as follows. There's this Eish HaSifas Tohar that a person is tempted by. And if that's usher for him, the Torah knows he's going to engage in it. It's an impossible Yetzer Hara. He's not going to win. So if that's usher to him, when he engages in that Isser of Yifas Tohar, he's going to be bound up and stuck in something evil. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu devises a plan wherein he makes this mutter, he makes there a permissible process by which you can marry this same woman, so now by making it permissible, this person can now do the exact same act and not cling to the evil in it, but rather cling to the good parts of it, cling to the positivity within that action. Says the Sfas Emes, the Torah went out of its way, Dibra Torah Kenegdi Yetzirah, it knew that you were going to engage in this act. So instead of engaging in an usher act, you can engage in a mutter act, and you can find the positive in that act and actually grow from the experience, as opposed to chas v'shalom, the opposite. Says the Sfas Emes, and this is the part that's so amazing for us, the last bold over here in the same Sfas Emes, source number 3, the Eitza Zo Noheges B'chol Divrei Rishus. This idea, this piece of advice works by everything, every permissible thing in the world that you're engaging in, eating a meal, going to work, everything you're doing that's permissible, you should use this idea to motivate you. What does he mean? Every mutter act I engage in, I sit down on the Shabbos afternoon to eat some cholent. Is that permissible? It's a davar rishus, right? The Torah didn't tell me to eat cholent. I mean, onik Shabbos, but let's just say I'm eating for my, you know, I'm past onik Shabbos or whatever. I'm eating, I already had my meal. Oh, I'm eating to enjoy. The Torah told me it's a mitzvah to eat right now? No. The Torah told me it's aser? No, it's a rishus. It's permissible. I'm allowed to eat right now. Now, there's two ways I can go. I can eat and enjoy and make that a spiritual experience, or I can eat and eat and eat in a gluttonous manner and eat in excess, and it could become an avera. It can become an avera. How does a person make sure that every act he does, which is inherently permissible, inherently a rishus, doesn't become an avera by him doing it excessively? If a person thinks while he's doing everything, this is the Ratzon Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed me to do this. Every act can become usher. Every act can become an avera. It can become evil. You can cling to the negative parts of that act. But if a person thinks before he does everything, this is with the guidance and with the license of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then a person won't be stuck in the negativity of those acts. And the truth is, what the Sfas Emes is pointing to over here is an amazing thing, which I don't have time to read it inside with you, but if you look later, if you have it at home, the Sefer Chovas HaLababos, Rabbeinu Bachya, so if you look in the Shar Avodas HaLokim, Perek Dal, the fourth Perek, he has an incredible Yisod. Incredible Yisod. It's daunting, it's scary, it's intimidating, but it's also very empowering. The Chovas HaLababos tells us that we think of life, we break up life into three categories. Mitzvah, Avera, and Rishus. And the Chovas HaLababos says, on one level, that's true. There are things that the Torah says to do, there are things the Torah says not to do, and there are things the Torah doesn't explicitly comment on. But says the Chovas HaLababos, that in truth, there are only two categories. There are mitzvos and there are averos. There's no such thing as the middle category of, oh, it's just a rishus. What do you mean? If I'm just eating cholent, I'm just eating breakfast, I'm just doing a regular thing, how is that not a rishus? The answer is, there's a way to do it that it becomes a mitzvah, and there's a way to do it that it becomes an avera. Every single act in a person's life. Now, there are questions you can ask. I go to the store and I'm trying to decide which shirt to buy. Should I buy light green or dark green? Hard to imagine that buying the dark green is a mitzvah and buying the light green is an avera. Probably they're all averas because the mitzvah in the Torah says you're supposed to wear white shirts. You know about that one. Everyone knows about that one. Okay, but we choose to violate it. Okay, it's a yetzahara. It's a yetzahara. Fine. So I'm choosing between light green and dark green. So it's a mitzvah or avera? No. But maybe the way I go about that act is a mitzvah or avera. Maybe if I spend too long, instead of coming home and learning a little or spending time with my family, maybe that becomes a negative act because I shouldn't have spent so long deciding to light green and dark green. Or maybe if I know my wife loves dark green and I choose the light green, maybe that became a negative act because I wasn't satisfying the people around me. So it becomes, every act becomes a decision. Parts of it are obviously trivial, but no act is completely trivial. No act is devoid of a L'shem Shemayim aspect, of a Ratzon Hashem aspect. And that's what the Sfas Emes is referring to over here, just like the Chovas HaLevavos, that every act we do, you call it a rishus, but it's not really a rishus. It's something that is Ratzon Hashem. And says the Sfas Emes, if a person realizes that every act they're doing is part of Hashem's plan and they're trying to cling to Ratzon Hashem while they're doing that act, then you won't fall into the trap of any act becoming usher, of any act becoming an aver, becoming negative, because you'll be thinking the whole time, how does this fit in to Avodas Hashem? And a last point, and we'll end with this, and this is amazing. If you look in source number 3, the second source, the Shem Yishmuel, St. Shem Yishmuel was the son of the Sakach of Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer, of Shmuel Bornstein. So the Shem Yishmuel has an amazing thing. We know Rashi, in the beginning of our parsha, it says, Kiseitzim l'melchama alevecha. Rashi says, this is not talking about a melchamas mitzvah, where we go to war against the Shiva Amim. Rather, this is bil melchamas rishus hakasa medaber. This pasuk is talking about melchamas harishus. The war, which is a voluntary war. We are trying to conquer more of Eretz Yisrael, but we're not fighting a war that's a mitzvah to destroy the seven Amim or something like that. Oh. Says the Avnei Nezer, the Shem Yishmuel quotes from his father, V'higid kol kacho avi adoni mori zatzal, zichet adar brach l'chay elam haba, d'melchemes sheva ha'umos, romezes l'sheva ha'midos haraos. Okay, the fight against the sheva umos, which is a mitzvah, that's seven midos that a person has to avoid, u'b'chlal and davar iser, that includes things that are aser. But says the Avnei Nezer, u'melchemes rishus This milchama that Rashi says our pasuk is talking about is a milchama of Rishus, the voluntary war to conquer Israel. Romezes, it hints to l'shmira midvar Rishus, to guard ourselves, to safeguard ourselves from things that are permissible from a dvar Rishus. I don't understand. What do you mean you have to guard yourself from a dvar Rishus? It's mutter to do things that are permissible. What do you have to guard yourself from? What's the Avnei Nezer clearly telling us? The same thing we were saying until now. That every dvar Rishus is inherently permissible. That's true. You're allowed to eat this bowl of chulent. You're allowed to go to the store and buy that shirt. You're allowed to have breakfast right now. But a person has to be very careful when he engages in any mundane act to try to discern between the nuances in that action. Am I doing this for the right reasons? Am I doing it for the wrong reason? Am I focusing on the right values within this act? Or am I focusing on the wrong values within this act? Am I spending too much time, too little time? How is this mundane act part of my avodas Hashem? Ki seitzei l'melchama l'ayvecha, when you're fighting your yetzer hara, we only think of the yefas Torah, which is mutter or aser. But no, ki seitzei l'melchama l'ayvecha, v'melchama z'arashus ha'kazim medaver. Even when you're doing a dvar rashus, even when you're engaging in the regular mundane parts of your life, try to think, how is this a melchama? Where is my fight? Where is my Yetzer Hara? And where is the Yetzer Tov in this mundane act I'm doing? And if we're able to do that, if we're able to focus on every act we're doing and see how it fits into the puzzle of a life of Avodas Hashem, then B'siyat HaShemaya, not only won't we sin, not only won't we do Averos, but even our Divrei Rishus, even our voluntary mundane acts will turn into mitzvos. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.
Oh, yeah, Chavez Simons. Thank you.
Yeah.